Amen. Amen. Let's go to John 3. Let's go to our launching pad. And why don't you, when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
And let's read verses 16 and 17 out loud together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How many of you believe that? Amen. So whoever we meet, we're not going to condemn anybody. But we're always going to conduct ourselves so that those people through us will receive Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. One of the things that I learned over the years, you know, both in business, naturally playing sports, is that when things seem to be going kablooey, you step back and you reassess. All right, and the first thing that you look at is, have I strayed away from the fundamentals? See, in sports, you get away from fundamentals, the whole bottom falls out. In life, you get away from the fundamentals, the bottom falls out. And so I found that one of the reasons why things weren't going the way I thought they should be going based on what I've been reading in this word is that I had gotten away from a very basic fundamental. Very basic. And the problem is that sometimes we get caught up in us. So if you're playing sports and you have a real good handle, you forget there are four other players out there. And you forget the basic pass left, go right. Pass right, cut left. You forget all those basics and you think, oh, I can just dribble through them because that's what I see on TV. And next thing you know, you see the back of the opponent's uniform as they're going toward the basket after they've taken the basketball out of your hand. You know, I mean, those things happen because you get away from fundamentals. And you get to a certain point, and then the enemy just kicks the ladder out from under you, and you fall pretty hard. And now you're tentative about getting up, and you start wondering, God, why did you allow this? I thought your word said thus and so. Well, his word does say that. You forgot it. We allow circumstances to come and push out the fundamental principles that we've learned. Just push them right out. And we get left with our own ability. And that'll only take you but so far. Because with man, we're limited. But with God, we're unlimited. And so we have to understand that there are some successful life fundamentals. I'm not talking about life in Christ fundamentals. And that you can't ignore them. And so we're just going to talk about one very basic one this evening. Okay, look at 2 Corinthians 5. Very basic. But very essential. You have 2 Corinthians 5? All right, drop your eyes down to verse 7. And we're going to read, for we walk by faith, not by sight. All right, say that again. For we
walk by faith,
and
not by sight.
That's a very basic fundamental that we forget. The easy-to-read version says, we live by what we believe will happen, not by what we can see. Okay, we live by what we believe will happen. The Message Bible says it's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. The New Life Version says our life is lived by faith. We do not live by what we see in front of us. And too many times we've allowed ourselves to be moved by what we see and forget that we walk by faith. We think we have to walk based on this thing in front of me. that dictates that I need to do something differently. No, it doesn't. It means you have to remember, what has God said? Period. That's all it means. What has God said? See, we have to get to the point where no matter what happens, no matter what comes or doesn't come, we act based on our faith. Period. And don't even consider anything else. Only consider what God said. Now, I know you know this, but when you look at how believers are living and you listen to some of the words coming out of their mouth, you sometimes wonder, you know, are they fundamentally sound in this area? You know, do they know the fundamentals, or do they know of the fundamentals? And they're two very, very different things. See, knowing of a fundamental doesn't mean you know how to execute it. Knowing of a fundamental doesn't mean you've learned how to operate in it. Knowing of a fundamental doesn't mean you even understand it. All it means is that you heard about it. That's all it means. Okay. See, we're going into the football season. And I like watching portions of football games. I just can't sit down and watch the entire game anymore. I see too many things wrong. So I watch it and watch something else and get up. But there's something that happens in every single football game that's ever played anywhere that should never happen. Never happen, but it happens in every single game. And every time I see it happening, I sit there and I laugh. Because football 101 says if you're the defensive end, you don't slash right in going after the quarterback. You do what they call, you box the end. That means you take two or three steps forward and turn and see what's going on. But your ego says you can get to that quarterback. You can sack him. You can get that running back in the backfield before he ever crosses the line. And you just make a beeline straight in. You didn't realize that it was a misdirection play. And now here comes an end running around down the sideline for 30, 40 yards. Where if you had done the fundamental principle of come in and stop, you would have seen the guy coming and he would have run into you and probably been stopped for a loss. But instead, gain 30 yards, gain 40 yards, run for a touchdown. It happens multiple times in every single game that's played. And I watch the ends. And I see the ends on both sides going right in. I just sit there and I think they get paid millions of dollars for this. Not fundamentally sound. Period. Let me give you a couple of references. You say they're football references in the Bible? No, they're principles. Okay. Look at Mark 4. Okay. Mark 4, beginning at verse 18. I'm in the King James Version. It says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So you allow the cares of the world that come in, and it's like you never heard the word. And you just react based on your own strength. And your own strength is no match for the cares of this world. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and does what? Understands it not. You hear a fundamental principle and you don't understand it. Then comes the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in your heart. You hear it, you don't understand it. As soon as something happens, you forget you even heard it. Why? You didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to you. You didn't take the time to get rooted in it. You didn't take the time to see how it applies to your life. So either whether you didn't understand it or whether circumstances just showed up, either way, you've lost ground. Either way. And the reason is both of them. You didn't know the principle. You didn't grab hold of that fundamental. It didn't sink in that I walk by faith. It doesn't matter what I see. I walk by faith in what God told me, not on what I'm seeing with my eyes. I'm not operating on what I'm hearing. I'm operating on what God said, period. So what is faith? We know, we've heard all this before. This isn't new. Let's go to Hebrews 11. At Hebrews 11, would you read the first verse out loud, please? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that sounds good, but as I tell you, I always look at it in a lot of different translations so I can get a clear understanding. It says, faith is that which brings what you are hoping for into actual existence. Faith is that steadfastness of mind, firmness of your position, the courage to wait or continue, the resolution that God's word is so. Faith changes impossible to possible. Simply stated, faith is what makes God's word your reality. See, that's what we want God's word to be our reality. And understanding that fundamental principle, we walk by faith, not by sight, will bring God's word in as our reality. That's what we got to stop thinking about and what we were seeing. The three Hebrew boys, think about what they saw, okay? They saw their entire nation bowing down to an idol, including their high priests. Everybody was bowing down to this idol except them. They saw the fiery furnace. They saw it heated seven times hotter than it was supposed to be heated. They saw that. They saw the look of rage on Nebuchadnezzar's face. And they saw the guards ready to grab them and throw them into the furnace. But all they could think of was the fundamentals that they knew. Thou shalt not bow down to any graven image. I am the Lord thy God who brought you out. That's all they had, folks. And so they said, we will not bow down. Our God will deliver us. And even if he won't, we still won't bow down. They understood their fundamental principles. And they weren't going to back off of them for anything. And it caused the king, because he followed through, he threw them in the furnace. And then he looks at, did we throw in three? One, two, three. There are four. Moving around in the furnace. And one looks like the Son of God. I'm trying to figure out, how do you know what God looked like? Okay. But because of that, he made a decree that if anyone talked badly about God, as my dad used to say, he was going to do them in. Destroy their houses. Why? Because someone would dare speak about a God, the God who could save in that manner. Because no other God can save like this. Wouldn't that be good today to have the president declare, nobody talks badly about God or his son, Jesus. Well, I have faith to believe that that can happen. How about you? Okay. But they said to him, he said, look, be it known to you, king, we will not bow down. Why? Because the fundamental principle, you don't bow down. They were going by the Ten Commandments. That's what they knew. They didn't know anything about faith. They just knew what God said. And so they just chose to believe what God said. That's all we're saying to you tonight. That's the fundamental principle. God speaks, we believe it. And then we act like we believe it, even if it seems like it's a hostile environment. Even if it really is a hostile environment, we're going to believe what God said, period. Because they did that, they were promoted. Now, they weren't looking for promotion. They were just being obedient to who they are, who they were. And because of that, God promoted them. He promoted them. They weren't thinking, oh, boy, what are we going to get now if we stand like this? No, their thought was, there is no way we can bow down to this graven image. There is no way that we're going to worship this image or this king, for that matter. And they were willing to give up their lives if necessary because they believed. That's what we're talking about when we say we walk by faith. Their faith brought what they were hoping for into existence. Their faith kept their mind steadfast, kept their resolution strong. Their faith made God's word their reality. And it'll do the same thing for us. But we're going to have to take the same actions that they took. We're going to have to believe the same way that they believe. Right? Look at Luke 22. This is a good one. I think it's a good one. I think all of them are good, but that's just me. Let me start at verse 31. Jesus is talking with Peter. And I'm in a Living Bible. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have you to sift you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith should not completely fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen and build up the faith of your brothers. And Simon said, Lord, I'm ready to go to jail with you and even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Between now and tomorrow morning, when the rooster crows, you will deny me three times, declaring that you don't even know me. Now, how many of you would have given Peter that responsibility knowing that in a few hours, he was going to deny that he even ever knew you? That's what I thought. Okay. I wouldn't have given to him either. So why did Jesus do it? He knew Peter was going to deny him. He knew Peter was going to turn away because he said, when you come back, when you come back. We see people, they turn away, and sometimes we won't let them come back. We'll say, keep on going. Don't let the door hit you where, you know, all right. But you got to think about, I was thinking, okay, all right, Lord, why? Why did Jesus say what he said? Why did he give Peter that responsibility, even though he knew Peter was going to cave in and deny him, not once, for three times. When even though Peter said, I'm ready to die with you. Look at John 12. There were so many different verses we could have used. But John 12. Verse 49. Jesus said, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So for Jesus, it was fundamental. God tells him what to say, and he says it. He believes God's word is true. Period. So he doesn't even have to think about it. So Jesus believed that God told him what to say to Peter. So he said it. He said it. Didn't have to think about it, didn't hesitate, didn't wonder. This is what God is telling me to say. This is what I'm saying. Period. Doesn't matter what Peter's going to do or not going to do. All that matters is God told me to tell Peter this. God told me, give Peter this responsibility. I believe God. So what do? I give Peter that responsibility. And I don't say, see, we'll do that, but we'll add to it. We'll say, okay, now I'm trusting you with this thing now. Are you sure you make sure you can handle this? You don't want to let me down. Tell me now if you can't do this thing. All right? Tell me right now. I'll find somebody else. All right? But I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. He didn't do that. God said it. He believed it. He acted on it. It was done. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to act based on that fundamental that we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by every word that God said. That's why when Jesus was in the desert being tempted, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone. But by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means you have to believe every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and you will have life. Even if you don't have food, you will have life. Do you understand that? You will have that steadfastness of mind, that firmness of your position, the courage to continue, the courage to stand, just because God said it. Think about this one, Matthew 26. I thought this was a tough one. This is after the Last Supper. Judas betrays Jesus, and the soldiers come. And then we get down to 51, verse 51. This is out of the New Living Translation. It says, one of the men with Jesus, we know it's Peter, pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, smashing off his ear. Put away your sword, Jesus told him. Those who use the sword will die by the sword. And he says this, don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now? And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute here. You have the ability and the right, if you choose to do so, to call to your Father, and your Father will send thousands of reinforcements and get you out of this situation. But Jesus knew all of the instructions God had given him. So he knew these things had to take place. And he believed that they would go exactly how God said they would. So he said, I can't do that. I can't call down angels. How's that going to help God's word? come true. God's word that described this is that's happening and that's going to happen. I can't do anything to sabotage that. So he let himself be taken, knowing what was awaiting him. Knowing. Think of some of the things that we do or don't do because we think something might happen. We don't know. We think it's going to happen based on our limited knowledge and the things we won't do, the places we won't go. There's some neighborhoods we won't go into. Why? We've listened to the news. And we've watched the things that have happened and are happening in that area. And we'll say, no, God said, don't cast pearls before the swine. So I'm not going in there with those people. You know, who told you they were swine? Did God tell you to go? That's why Pastor Ed and I were excited when the intercessors told us that, you know, God had directed them to have these prayer walks in Spring Valley. Like, yes. That's God. And God didn't tell him, you know, check the news, stay away from the hot spots. No, he said, have prayer walks in Spring Valley. They said yes. They understand the fundamentals. They walk by faith. They don't walk by sight. See, Jesus knew he was about to be humiliated, tortured, and killed. But he also knew that every stripe that he took was for our healing. He knew that. He knew by him going to hell, we wouldn't have to. And he believed it. So his action, it was fundamental for him to say, yes, let him take me. He could have gotten away at any time. At any time. But he stuck it out. It was also an example, folks, that we can stick it out also. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all ways, just like we are. In all ways. So he was able to tough it out because he understood the fundamental. We have to grab hold of the same fundamentals, the same principle. If God said it, it's so. Period. Period. Just before the shipwreck, Paul told those on the boat with him, don't be afraid. Then an angel came and told me, there's not going to be any loss of life. Yeah, the ship's going to be destroyed, but we're not going to lose any life. Nobody's going to lose their life. So he said, just chill. I believe God. And I believe it's going to be exactly how he said. I mean, it's just that simple. God sent this message to me. I believe it. So all of you are with me. You don't have to be afraid. God said, none of you are going to lose your life. But I can't swim. Don't worry. He knows that. Don't worry about it. Okay. I mean, when you read that account, it's a... Some of them use pieces of the ship to make it. So I was thinking about that, and my mother's pastor taught a lesson on it once, and I never forgot the basic of his lesson was that God can use fragments to save you. He said, because some of those got made it to the island on fragments. We get upset when all we have left are fragments. Give it to God and you'll find out those fragments are more than enough to sustain you if you understand the principle of fundamental faith and believe it. It'll change the impossible to possible. It'll make God's word your reality. See, it doesn't matter to us that the sanctuary is not filled every Sunday. Doesn't matter. You know why? Because God said the people will come and will come. That's what God said. And since we believe it, we don't sweat it. I mean, we sweat because it gets warm. but we don't sweat it because we don't physically see the facility filled yet. And we don't ask God, when are you going to do this? All that matters to us is he said it. We play recorded music. And yeah, it would be nice, you know, to have singers and musicians, but we're not sweating that either. Because God said, I'll send the singers and musicians, not because you're a great musical church, but because you're a great spiritual church. That's what God said. That's what we choose to believe and act on. So what do? We make sure that we're a great spiritual church. That's our only responsibility. Because that's why God's going to send the singers and the musicians. And in the meantime, we use what he's already provided. Equipment and people to operate it. And we say, thank you. Thank you. We have a church home. It's debt-free. It's debt-free. But God said he's giving us the mall as a spoil. We're not thinking, how are we going to pay for a mall? We're not thinking about that. We're thinking, God said he's going to give it to us as a spoil. And he said the first building he's going to give us is the Sears building. So it doesn't matter to us what Sears may think at this moment. It doesn't matter. All that matters, folks, is God said he's giving it to us. And we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And thank him for it. Why? Because if he said it, we count it as done. So we say, thank you, Lord, for the Sears building. Thank you for the mall. Thank you for the singers and the musicians. Thank you for the people. Thank you for the money that comes. That's the only proper response to what God says. Thank you. Why do you say thank you? You believe him. And you don't let circumstances change that. I've told you, I don't know how many times, and I'm going to keep telling you as I'm directed, I was afraid of high blood pressure. And the reason I became afraid of it was that I meditated in it day and night. I learned everything there. I knew all of its characteristics, all of the statistics. I heard about how it gave people strokes and killed them. And I believed it because I wasn't taking that same time and sticking my face in this book and seeing himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses and by his stripes I was healed. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from my transgressions. I wasn't doing that. I was putting on my focus on the adversary and I was believing his press. And it just hit me, what in the world are you doing, fool? The minute I took that attitude, right, within 48 hours, I was out of the hospital. For good, that's right. Haven't been back to the emergency room for blood pressure since and won't be going. Okay. Why? I ain't scared of it anymore. I have too much faith in what God said now. Now, I'm not going to be stupid and put things in my body that shouldn't be put in there. You know, I'm not going to do that. But I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not afraid of it. If I take a reading and the reading is not where I want to, I don't go into alarm. Don't go into alarm at all. See? get right back down in the right range and go on about my business. Before that, I'd be sitting there every 5 minutes. I'm taking, did it go down? Did it go down? Maybe I need to take some more medicine, you know. And the interesting part in all of this, that's why I'm telling you, we have to get to the place where we completely understand the principle we walk by faith and not by sight. I was fully medicated, and my blood pressure still spiked. Fully, 1 minute, it was 86 over 57. 5 minutes later, 220 over 150. 5 minutes later, I go from driving along casually to pulling into what I thought was a doctor's. It's really very funny. I thought it was a doctor's complex because I felt that it was high. So I said, well, let me pull into this complex and take it. So if it is something there, then, you know, there's someone there I can get some help. And I looked at that reading, and my eyes popped out of my head, and I went in to the doctor's office. They were optometrists. Yeah. I guess God was telling me something. I needed some more spiritual insight. I need to get my spiritual eyes examined. See, we don't get worried. We don't wonder, you know, what's going to happen with Pastor Sarah. We don't. We're not concerned with what's going to be the health of the congregation. What's going to, you know, is everything going to be okay with us? Because God said the best days are yet ahead for Pastor Sarah, Redeeming Love Christian Center, Pastor Ed, and Pastor Greg. We choose to believe God. And so we walk based on that and not on what we may see. I mean, yes, I've been having, you know, some issues with my left knee. God said, go to an orthopedist and worked it out because there was a specific one he wanted me to see. I didn't know that. This orthopedist comes in, talks very little about what he may have to do medically. But he said to me, there's some things that I want to talk to you about with diet and nutrition that'll do more for your knee than I can do medically. I never knew that proper nutrition can take care of your knee. Okay. And I found, how many of you are overweight? I'm not looking up. Okay. Let me tell you what that does. He said, for every pound that you are overweight, you put 600 pounds of pressure on your knees. So are you 10 pounds overweight? Are you 20 pounds overweight? Are you more than that overweight? You're putting all of that extra pressure on your knees. He that has an ear, let him hear. Okay. Isn't it amazing how God worked out these bodies? You eat the right foods, give it the right exercise, it helps every part of your body. I never knew that proper diet, like I said, could cause cartilage and things to regrow in your knees. But God's the one that told me to go. So I went. And I'm going to do what they said. Because he arranged, and I was getting, Deacon Phil said, I was getting upset. Because I wanted an early appointment. I said, what's your first appointment? They said 8:30. I'll take it. I got there at 8 o'clock because there's paperwork you have to fill out. I finished filling out the paperwork at 8:23. Dad asked me to come 15 minutes early. I came a half an hour early because I wanted to get in, get out, have things to do. He ain't call me until 9. Right? And then you go in and you sit in another room while he's coming. And I was just telling him, I said, okay, I need to work on my patience because, you know, right now I'm ready to just get up out of here and just go. And I would have missed God, you know, by 15 country miles. Okay. Do you believe the best days are yet ahead?
Yes.
You believe the mall is ours as a spoil?
Yes.
You believe that the singers and the musicians are going to come?
Yes.
Because we're going to be a great spiritual church?
Yes.
You believe the people are coming and the money's coming?
Yes.
Why do you believe it? I don't see it. God said it, and what do we do? We believe it, and that causes us to walk by and say it again.
Walk by faith and not by sight.
Say it once more.
Walk by faith and not by sight.
Tell your neighbor.
Walk by faith and not by sight.
Give me that song, guys, ladies.